Okay, let's, say a word of prayer and then we'll jump right in this. Father Yah, we just glorify you as always, and we bless you for just who you are in our lives on a daily basis. Right now we're gathered here tonight to seek wisdom and understanding, and we thank you in advance that you're giving to us all that's necessary and that pertaining to life and godliness. And we just glorify you for all that you do in our lives. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. When I was in my office, Yah spoke to me and said, he said most people understand love from a childish perspective. And when he said that, I was like, wow. And so we're going to just take a look at some things of how love appears to be from a child's perspective. You know, I have my two grandbabies here and things like that. And so I can really relate to that with them. You trying to turn that off? Just switch it off from the bottom. Oh, just switch it off from the bottom. And so when you look at love from a childish perspective, what comes to mind? Think about it. What happens? How do we show a child love? Hugging them, kissing on them, good stuff, playing with them. You know, things. And so we do that because it's designed. What you think it's designed for? I'm just trying to get y'all involved and not, you know.
Make you feel better.
Make you feel better. That's good. Make you happy. Anything else? That's some good points. And so you do these things in order to make them feel better, to make them happy. Anything else? I mean, it's good stuff, y'all.
Affection.
Affection, you know. Okay.
Trust. And make them feel comfortable.
Make them feel comfortable.
Trust.
Okay, because, I mean, that's some good stuff. So, but y'all says... Yah says that most people approach love from that perspective. So when they don't experience, give me those words again, y'all help me. No, the things that a child shows. So when hug,
kisses,
what else? Repeat what y'all told me earlier. Plan, trust, what else?
Happy,
feel better. So who? Yasha got excited on that one, but he's like, oh. You're like, oh, PK, money out. Let me get up here. and so what Yah is saying is that the reason why most people look at love as a child is because those are the things that they expect in order for love to be displayed. So when that's not it displayed, then they come to the conclusion that there is no love. And so Yah says, now when love is viewed from that perspective, now there's nothing wrong with that, because love does have those things included. But if that's the sole purpose of what we classify love is, then we're thinking childish. Because love is not always kissing, not always hugging, not always trying to gain your trust type of deal. You know, although that can kind of, you know, it kind of is a hard one to throw in there. But I'm just throwing things out that you guys said, you know. And these things are vitally important for us to understand. So what we need to do is to take a look at some things as far as love is concerned, but not from a childish perspective, okay? But before I do that, I'm going to tell you a story. When I first went off to college, now this is love now. when I first went off to college, I had done a little work during the summertime, and just wanted to do something, you know, because I've been working since I was, you know, 16, 15, somewhere up in there. Really 12, because I think I started going with you, bro, to do construction stuff. I was about 12, 13, somewhere up in there. So I've been kind of working during the summertime since I was around about 12 or something, you know, just little pocket money, just do what I wanted to do. And, you know, and so this particular time, you know, I had, when I, you know, did me a little work and had, gone off to college and came back home. Around about this time, I guess it's around about, what's this, around spring break? It coming up around spring break, Christmas break, something like that. Well, anyhow, income tax was due. And for years, my brother-in-law, John, had done my income tax. And so this particular year, you know, I come to him, I was like, bro, man, so I need you to do my taxes again. And he was like, he looked at me, he said, now wait a minute. He said, here you are. And my brother-in-law John, I always got this little long way around. I kind of do the same thing. I pick up some of the stuff that, you know, I learned from him over here. He'd go way around the corner and down the street and all the way around there before he come back around and slap you with what he's trying to teach you. And so he said, man, he said, here you are. Big old college student. In college, you know, going to get your degree, doing all these different things, and you got to come sit at your brother-in-law's table and ask him to do your income tax? He said, man, I ain't finna do your income tax. He said, you better sit there and learn how to do your income tax yourself. I got hot as a firecracker. Because, look, as a child, I'm using my brother-in-law hugging me. I grew up in a family. My brother may not remember this, but I do. I grew up in a family where men kissed their sons, and my brother would kiss me sometimes. He may not remember. He said he remembered, but I know I remember it like it was yesterday. There was a time when he would go out. I mean, one time he came to California. He came back home, and I think it was late when you got in, and I woke up and saw him. And I mean, he hugged me and kissed me. And so. I'm used to, Joshua, behave. But I'm put you in jail, man. And so, I grew up in a house where I was used to being kissed and loved on by men as well as women. So I have that balance now, and I do the same thing with my grandsons. You know, my two grandsons, Malik and Joshua. I hug him, I kiss him. Malik is 9. Every time he see me to this day, the first thing he gonna do is walk up to me and kiss me. And before he leave, he gonna kiss me before he go. And I think I'm pretty much the only one he'll do like that on a regular basis. Where he look for that, you know, before he, when he comes and when he goes. And so, so me being raised up in that environment now, used to all the things that y'all named, being loved or experiencing love from the perspective of a child, and then to hear my brother-in-law say what he said, man, my little feeling was hurt, man. My brother-in-law don't love me no more, man. You know, he's done this for me all this time, and now it gets to the point to where he's saying, man, I'm not finna do this for you. And so I sit there and I was angry, but I'm like, okay, what I'm going to do? Either I'm going to do them or they not going to get done. And so I sit there and did it. And I could tell as I was doing them, he was kind of hanging around in the vicinity, but he's still in hell. But I could also tell that just in case I needed it, he was there. He was there just in case. And when I finished it, I think I did it right. You know, everything looks to be fine. And he looked over it, and he pat me on the back. He said, see, son, he said, now, you can do your taxes yourself, and you don't have to depend on nobody to do your taxes. Now, when he said that, I realized at that very moment, you know what? Yashua, I don't need you to help me preach today, son. And so what I realized at that time is man, my brother-in-law loved me. And he showed a different perspective of love. He showed a love that said, now you're a man. And I gotta love you into being a man. And I can't sit here and allow you to do this childish stuff anymore. So there are certain things you're gonna have to come up to and learn in order to be a man in this world. And I never forget that day. And it taught me a whole lot about love, especially when, you know, I was used to all those years. You know, I got family member that's here that can tell you, especially my little sister's phone going off. they can tell you. My mom and I had a special relationship, and I ain't ashamed to say I was a mama boy. And they can verify that. It's like, if anybody else was hungry, she just kind of look at them. But if I came in and said I was hungry, it's like the whole atmosphere changed. You know, and so there were certain things that she did, and put him in jail. Go to jail. Go to jail. See you later. Get you out of jail after service. It's... And so, you know, so me being this mama's boy, experiencing all these things, you know, I often tell the story about here I was, the big star football player, the big jock, big time athlete and all that, be walking down the street, you know, coming home from church, my mom 5'3", and we be holding hands walking down the street. And my friend, he passed by blowing at us, laughing at me and stuff like that. I did not care. That's my mama. Forget y'all. You know, and so those were the affections and things like that that I experienced growing up as a kid. But there came a time when my love needed to mature. And I need to realize that love wasn't about all these good feely and nice things going on all the time. And everything had to be just wonderful all the time. And I learned that if it wasn't wonderful, but yet it brought about a result that was necessary, that's still a facet of love. My youngest daughter is here. When I used to whoop y'all, what do we call it? Love licks. Because true love has more to do with just kissing and feeling good and hugging and trying to make me happy all the time. Sometimes love has to stand up and do some things as necessary. Sometimes love have permitted preventative measures associated with it. But if a person think you loving me is all about me getting what I want and having it my way all the time, then that's childish. And it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to grow up. So now we're going to look at some scriptures. You know, we can't do this without doing it, you know. You can't get in there and talk about what y'all said without bagging up what y'all said in the scriptures now. Now, I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 5 because this verse is misunderstood so much. It's ridiculous. But we're going to look at it to a few scriptures tonight and get an understanding of it, of this love. Now, Matthew 5 verse 43. Yeah, I'm going to just read verse 43 for the sake of the time and some more scriptures we have to cover. Matthew 5, verse 43 says, ye have heard that it has been said. thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now see this now. This is Christ talking, and Christ is saying, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Verse 44, he said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 46, for if ye love them that love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans, you know, publicans were viewed as some of the worst people during this time, because, you know, they was kind of like tax collectors, I believe. Let me look at the word publicans just to make sure. They were tax farmers, tax collectors, and so often they would cheat people. Okay, kind of like the same thing they do with taxes and stuff today. You know, you pay your house off and you still got to pay taxes on it, so you never pay it off. It's just highway robbery. And so then it says, if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect. What that word perfect means. Word perfect means mature, but let's deal with it. It says complete, growth, mental and moral character. In other words, if you or we dish it out only because of how we get it, then that's childish. One thing that I've always made up my mind to do is never allow somebody's character to shape mine. But I'm going to always be who I am and allow Yah to be displayed in who he has made me to be and created me to be and put in me to be. And a person's actions don't determine my character. You know, some of us blow like the wind, you know. Depending on which direction the wind blowing, that's the way our character is going. You know, they treat me bad, so now I'm going to treat them bad kind of deal, you know. And so when it says, but be ye perfect, that word means, again, a full age, growth, mental and moral character. Okay? Man means not a child. And so he says now, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So our goal is to be like our Father. But then I'm going to go back to verse 43. And verse 43 says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. What you have here is part truth. And so when people see this here, they will think by reading verse 44 that Christ is giving a new command. No, we got to understand. You got to understand our Savior. He does nothing unless the Father give it to him. Everything that he did, it fulfilled the law, the law and the prophets. That word fulfill means to fully preach or to walk to the letter of it. So he's not contradicting his Father. What he's doing is telling them, you heard one thing, but I'm telling you what my Father says. You have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love you have heard that it's been said, love your enemies. No, verse 43. You have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor. That was said. The law says love thy neighbor as thyself. But it says absolutely nothing about hating the enemy. Actually, the law gives us rules and regulations on how to treat an enemy. Now, when you look at Yah's decree in reference to people that were in our homeland, there were certain things that Yah wanted to take place because of these people causing us to to worship other gods and things like this. But when you talk about strictly by the law of love, y'all never told us to hate somebody. There were other reasons why we did things as a nation, but we didn't do things as a nation because we hated people. Oh, that exposes our Israelite brothers now. Our Israelite brothers, they hate all because they walk in a lack of understanding, or they hate because their love is based in childlessness.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why do you think is hate and dislike the same, or are they totally two different things?
Say that again. Is hate like what?
I guess is hate and dislike the same, but not really.
You said dislike. I didn't hear you say the word dislike. I don't think they're the same. I think they have association in certain ways. I think one can lead into another, but I can dislike something and not hate it. Y'all know how I am when it come down to certain things. You know, I be eating something, be like, this nasty. I dislike it, but I don't hate it. That's just an example that I'm using. So there is a close relationship to it, but they're not the same. When you dislike something, there's a reason. When you hate something, you just hate it. You ain't got no reason. You can hate me because I come in the door. And so it's like there's a difference to a certain perspective. When I dislike something, there's something that took place that caused me not to like it. Hate has nothing connected to it whatsoever, from the mere fact that it's just there. There is no cause. You know, it's, you know what I mean by there's no cause. There's nothing there that caused that individual to hate to a certain perspective when you put both words side by side. And that's why I said, you know, it's a thin line from one to the other. But at the same time, when you dislike something, there can be reason why you don't like it. But when you hate something, you know, you get some people hate other races. They will try to point to a cause, but when you take the layers off that thing, you'd be like, what? You hate them because your daddy hated the people and you hate it and you passed down that to your kids. And there's no real legitimate reason why you that way. It's just in the individual's nature, so to speak. So that's my perspective on it. Anybody else have anything you want to add to that? And so when you look at it again, let me turn this up just in case. So when you look at it here again, the word hate thine enemy is nowhere in our law. You can't find it in the law. But you can find love your neighbor. The law says you love your neighbors yourself. So Christ was in the same vein. So what he was telling our nation at the time, he said, you've been hearing stuff by these false teachers. And they're telling you that you can love folks, and then you hate your enemy. He said, but that's not the truth. You're supposed to love your neighbor and then your enemy. Then he gives the list that we just read. Because that lines up with the law. Everything that Christ said is exactly what's in the law. That's why he said, you have heard that it's been said. When you, from the hearing of it, he's pointing out there are some folks that's leading and guiding you wrong. Because there's nothing in our law. There's nothing in the law of Moses. There's nothing where our Yah taught us how to hate someone. He taught us how to deal with them for various reasons to keep us intact as a nation and following his law, statutes, and judgment. So there were reasons why we did those things, but we never did it based upon hate. Now, as we look at this, I'll prove it to you. We'll look at Leviticus chapter 19. And we'll just go straight to verse 18. This is the law. It says, thou shalt not avenge. What the scripture says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. It says, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yah. You shall keep my statutes, and so on and so forth. Now, to further prove this, you move to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Remember when I mentioned our Israelite brothers? This is in the law. Deuteronomy 23, verse 7. What does it say? Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite. Why? For he is thy brother. Now, we're going to look at, we know brother, we know that they are our brethren. And most of them don't walk in understanding. So they, who they classify as Edom is not Edom at all. And so, when you look at the word brother, it says a brother. It has a wider sense. It says kindred. Which gives the interpretation of where it should be doing. It should be. I just wanted to look at it just to make sure. But it says, thou shalt not abhor. Let's look at the word abhor. It's ta'ab. It means to loathe, detest, abominable, utterly. So when you look at that, he's telling us in the law not to do it. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou was a stranger in his land. So now, wisdom say, where are we? We're in a strange land. And Yah gave us the law in reference to the Egyptian. Said, don't hate them because you were in that strange land. We're in a strange land now. We can't turn around and walk in hate just because we were brought in captivity. Because when you look at the true captivity, we the cause of our own captivity. But yet, we use our childishness now to give us a reason to hate a people who just carried out a mission that Yah said he was going to do in our lives because of disobedience. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou was a stranger in his land. Okay? I can't walk around hating people because at one time or another, we were treated a certain way. But at the same time, I understand that Yah says vengeance is his. He's going to repay. Yah judges, Yah has judged and will always judge every nation who deals with his people fiercely. We don't have to do it. There are certain things that we're going to have to carry out in the future, but it'll be by his leading, not by our own. Okay? Now we'll go to 1 Corinthians 13 since we got that understanding. And we'll start to finish up on this. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. We just start at verse 1. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, I have not and have not charity. Now, people will think when you look at the word angels here, that is talking about angels got some heavenly language that, you know, Christians speak when they praying in tongues. That's not the case. And so let's just look at the word angels here. The word angels, it says it derived from 71. So let's just click on it here. It says to lead. So an angel is a messenger, but someone is being led. That can be a preacher. And so we don't automatically just take the word angel because we see it and think it's the heavenly being, so to speak. Okay? So though we speak with the tongues of men, different languages. So when you look at the word tongues here, It says a language. That's what tongues really are. So I don't know what church folks be doing. It's a language. And so it says, and of angels, and have not love, charity. Now, when you look at charity, this is the word that means love, but it says agapeo, which means this is agape, which means love. And it says affection of benevolence, but it has no conditions associated with it. This is the type of love that Christ was asking Peter about. Peter was saying, I love you like a homeboy. And so he said, have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and or a tingling cymbal, just making noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love unconditional, I am nothing. So church folks are always going after these gifts, and they need to just work on the love walk. Verse 3, and though I bestow all Israelite brothers too, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Now, here's the thing about it that people get mixed up when they start to see these words. It says, charity suffereth long. Okay? Charity, it endures. And then it says, it is kind. Now, when you look at the word, it is kind, I thought it was interesting how y'all taught me on this. It's to be kind, it says, to show one useful. We thought kind was, oh, baby. My brother-in-law was kind to me. He showed love and kindness. He showed me how to become useful. So because we look at words according to our own facet of understanding, then what we do now is we think, oh, well, see, love is kind. You're always supposed to treat me nice. No, love is kind from a perspective of it becomes useful. It is something that you always can use to get results in the best way. Love suffers long. But look at that definition, suffered long. You know, I love. It's patient. It endures. That's what it means. It's kind. It's benevolent. To show oneself useful. Okay? It envieth not. It doesn't covet. It's not jealous. Jealous over. Okay? I was talking to my neighbor the other day. He was saying that, he said, man, he said, I feel so good. He said, man, I paid off my house and stuff like that, man. I was like, cool, man. You know, that was worth celebrating. You know, he paid off his house. Like, cool, man, that's fantastic. But you know how we are, man. We got that crawfish mentality. He didn't thank you something because he paid off his house. And so, as we look at these different words, it says, it envieth not, charity vaunted not itself. What does that mean? Vaunted not itself. Vaunt, the word vaunted, it means boast. Or when you look at the word, itself, it's the same, see? It's the same meaning. Vaunted in itself has the same meaning. So you can really leave itself out. So it's really saying charity doesn't boast. It doesn't boast or braggart. Now, a person want to say, well, you know, I like every time I think about the word boast and things like that, I like to use the example of Nolan Ryan. He was like, you know, he could throw a mean fastball. And you know, he's a Hall of Famer and things like that. And when people would talk about, you know, his fastball and things like that and get him to talk about it, he would be like, man, he said, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth. So when we look at the word braggart and boast, it is the opposite of the display of love. In other words, how do you feel when a person shares that information? If I'm just trying to think of a good way to put this. If I do something for you, if I do something for you, and which is a good thing, and I do it based upon me loving you, then my approach to how I address it from that point on will show whether that was true love or not. Do y'all understand what I just said? If you do it for me and then I got to feel 3 feet tall every time I come around you, that's not charity. You didn't do that in charity. You did that to boast. So love, the unconditional love, doesn't operate at that facet. Okay? And that's why it's vitally important for that to be understood. Love doesn't boast. It's not prideful. It vaunted not itself. It's not puffed up. That's the same thing I believe is going to reveal to us pride. It's not puffed up. Haughty. Inflated. It's from 54 growth. Same thing. Okay. But then it goes on and says, do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. In other words, love is not always trying to get my way. It's actually the opposite. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Self-explanatory. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things. Let me just continue on for the sake of the time. Hopeth all things. Y'all need me to address some of this, just let me know. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. It never fails, it's always there. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, this word knowledge is science. Human knowledge is science. That's why anytime you go to the doctor, all you're getting is science. It's human knowledge. Nothing wrong with going to the doctor. I'm just telling you what it is. There shall be there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part. Now, when they're saying we know in part, it's not necessarily saying that okay, I know part of the scripture and you know part of the scripture. What it's saying is when we look at the totality of things, we don't all get it. We don't get it all. When you look at how wonderful Yah has created things, and when you look at the wonders of this earth, we all know just little bits of things in comparison to the full knowledge that's going to be manifested when our Savior return. When our Savior return, we're going to know why they won't let us go to Antarctica. Right now, we know in part. Okay? There are other things that we're going to come into a full understanding of when these things happen. You know, there are things that we know. You know, the election was on yesterday. We just know in part. It's going to come a day when we're going to really get opportunity to see all the wickedness that was going on even behind the elections and things like that. Verse 9, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, mature. Now notice what it's saying here. It says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When we grow up, we'll quit seeing things from a part perspective. Things will start becoming full circle when we grow up. But as long as we think from a child's perspective, we only going to see things from that perspective. But when we mature now, we start to come in full circle. Things start to make sense. Okay, yeah, I see now. I understand now. But as long as we're operating as a child, we always going to be walking in a lack of understanding, just partly knowing why things are being done the way that they are. I just expanded your mind to the big picture and then brought us back down to the narrow thing, because the lesson is about maturity. Y'all seen in a nutshell, when you mature, a whole lot of stuff going to make sense. Think about it, y'all. It's some stuff that makes sense now that didn't make sense 10 years ago. Am I right? Because you have grown. It's some stuff now that I look back on, you know, my 57 years of life, and I go back and look at it, and I was like, man, I was just as stupid right here. Matter of fact, bro, we were together yesterday and you asked me, you said, is there anything else? It's funny to show you how y'all bring things full circle. He said, tell me what you said. Just tell everybody what you asked me.
I asked him, I said, is there anything you could do differently if you could go back?
You remember what I said? Mm-hmm. Tell me what I said. Here's what I said.
No, you said you wish you'd learn what you know now.
Maturity.
Yeah. That's the word.
That's exactly what I said. Yep. I said the only thing I would change is my maturity. Because there are certain decisions that I made because I knew in part. There are things that I did because I understood in part. And so all that decision making, when I look back on it, I said, man, I was messed up right there. I said, yeah, I was stupid right there too. I knew in part. I only had half the information. Or I had a lack of understanding. Or I didn't have any information. And so when he asked the question, I said, I wish that my mindset back then was the way that it is now. That's what I wish. If I could do it all over, y'all give me the mind I have right now and let me run through life with it again. Even the other pointed out a while back, he said, man, you know, we was talking about Joshua, and he was like, man, can you imagine? You know, here he is 2 years old and this is all he know? All he know is kingdom principle. All he know is the knowledge by which we walk in now. That's all he's ever experienced in his life. That's all he know. That's all my 4-year-old granddaughter know. All they know is what we have experienced in kingdom understanding. That's all they know. They don't know any other way of life. And I was like, man, if I could have been this kid, and had somebody teach me what I know, that's what that scripture is saying. When it's saying we all know in part, it is letting us know the reason why is because we have to grow. And until we grow, we're never going to understand things fully. We always going to think love has to do with kissing and hugging and patting me on the back and making me feel good all the time. And I'm smiling and I'm ooey and I'm old. Love will slap the heck out of you sometime. I just said that as a word just to snatch, you know, reach and grab your head quick. That's all. No, I'm not saying you have to go around slapping folks. Verse 10 again says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, that's why he says that. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away parched stuff. I just threw it back at you. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known when I'm mature. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. It's amazing how many folks are always trying to get faith. I need to work on my faith. I need to work on your faith. I need to. The scripture says the greatest one is love. You start there, faith going to kick in and be just fine. Hope going to kick in and be just fine. I did not start to mature and even understand the scriptures the way that I did until I fell in love with my God. And when I fell in love with my God, I started seeing his people the way that he sees them. And I started seeing his creation the way that he sees it. And I started seeing everything from the perspective of his mind. And when that took place, then everything started to make sense. Last scripture, and I'm close. Hebrews 12, slash 1. We're going to look at verse 1 through 6. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. What a waste, y'all. Things just hold us back. Okay. And the sin which doeth so easily besit us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Yehoshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yah. Notice it says, sit down at the right hand of the throne. He is not the Godhead. He ain't on no throne. He is at the right hand of the throne. Yah is God all by himself, and there is no other. He sits on the throne by himself. Christ is in the area. But childishness will say there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because childishness see only certain things in part instead of seeing the fullness of the scriptures that's right in our face. Right in our faces. For consider him, verse 3, that endured such contradiction for of sinners against himself, yet ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation, I'm just reading to get to where I need to be, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. I got to take my time with this right here. Because remember, childishness, what does childishness do? Remember when my brother-in-law, when he was rebuking me and said, I'm not going to do your taxes. Oh, man, I just wanted to faint. I despised it. When you look at this, despise it means have little regard. Chastening, correction, education, tutorage. My brother-in-law was tutoring me because he loved me. But if I had not grown at that table, our relationship would have been damaged all because my mindset was, he don't love me no more. He wouldn't do my taxes. Nor faint when thou art rebuked, convict, confuted, admonish, reprove. Don't faint when we're corrected. Faint, what is it? Relax, give up. 15:37. Don't fall back. It's the given word. It says direct or remote. It says after, among. It's saying don't fall back. Don't quit in a nutshell. Okay? Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Why? For whom the Lord loveth, that word, charity, same thing, agapeo. That's what it is, agape. Whom the Lord charity, he chastens, he correct. So now I understand that from a mature perspective, that correction is an action of love. Yes.
Is it always?
Correction is always a. It depends on, the understanding of the individual. If your correction is designed to make better, yeah, always. But you know, you get some people just want to correct because they just want to cause a problem. You know, I'm over there. Why I can't go over here? I just don't like you being over there. You know, I just threw that out there. But anytime correction is designed to make that individual improve, and that correction is designed to make that individual better, and to put boundaries around it. The scripture says, "Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it." In a nutshell, what they're saying, if you train them, they will stick to the method by which you train. Even if they get off course a little bit, they'll come right back to the training. And so yeah, that correction is a sign of love, especially when it's done to improve that individual. Love is always the root of that. And that's how we have to learn how to analyze it. Is this person correcting me because they're just trying to be contradictory? Are they correcting me because they're trying to get me to see a truth? That's love, man. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And I always jack that word up. Is it scourges? Every son whom he receiveth. Everybody gets it. If ye endure it now, chastening, y'all dealing with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. If I don't make an effort to correct error, and you don't make an effort to correct error in my life, then it's manifested that you don't care anything about me. That's a law, man. Verse 9, and then I guess we'll stop. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Correction in love is always designed for us to live the God kind of life. Okay? So as I, you know, get ready to close here, you know, I want to encourage each one of you to keep growing in maturity. Let's grow up. Okay? Let's grow up and realize that love is not this Hollywood always, I say it that way. It does have perspectives to it, but it's not always this Hollywood version of a romantic love story that always end, y'all know how they end up, them romantic love stories. They always end up where we be just like, you. All right, y'all got it? I'm finished. Father, y'all, we just bless you for bringing us to this understanding of what mature love really is. We want to know the fullness of things and not walk around in part knowledge, because we're willing to make adjustments and allow our love to manifest in the highest degree. And we bless you for loving us enough to correct us on our lack of understanding concerning love, and to bring us into a knowledge that will make us put away childish things and become perfect as you are perfect. And we just thank you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.